How have you not seen this?
Have you not seen this? As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows, joined by my guest, Sumak Torgalkar.
Hey, Dustin.
And Brooke Curtis.
Hello!
In the third and final installment of our ongoing Expendables trilogy coverage, and all three of us literally just got back from seeing Expendables 3 together for the first time in the theaters. So much action, so much biceps, so little Terry Crews.
Don't even get me started on that.
Well, I think I kind of want to get you started.
I was so mad the second they showed. I knew it. I fucking knew it. Because he was the one character I really, really liked.
I agree.
And that, you know what? I think my opinion is either kill him or don't. Make up your fucking mind.
Yeah, that's
that was
true.
Kind of like a pussy revenge plot.
It's definitely lame to sideline him as opposed to taking him out of the picture.
I think there are a lot of people that could have been killed that weren't.
Yeah,
I think that was the problem.
Take Toll Road out of the picture. Take Randy Couture out of the picture.
No, take fucking Dolph Lundgren.
You bite your tongue.
Drunk
you bite
asshole.
Your tongue. Dolph Lundgren stays in the picture.
His aim sucks.
Well, I don't know. Where do we want to really get it? Because the Terry Crews part to me, okay, I don't want him to die because I like him as a character.
Yeah, oh, that too.
But
right.
The main point was like, the biggest problem with this movie is there just became way too many people.
Yeah.
And so somebody needed to die. Multiple people probably needed to die at some point. Because by the end, literally, like,
there's no stakes.
Right. And they're inconsequential characters now. So it's like, why are these people even here?
Yeah.
So kill them, you know? And I understand where they were going with the new breed coming in.
Yeah.
So that's nice. But either kill them off. Or kill the older people.
Or kill,
off.
Like, Something. Kill a couple of them off.
Because you just have a ton of bodies now.
Yeah.
Of people, and you're not addressing anything.
Sometimes you just gotta let the bodies hit the floor.
You do. And that's exactly how that movie should have ended. With that song.
Yeah.
And then a fist bump.
And a fist bump.
Yeah.
I was disappointed the fist bump. I don't want to ruin any spoiler for the people listening who haven't seen it. The movie does end in a fist bump, but it's not in a plane, which I think we can all agree.
Although
Vegas or somebody was taking odds on it, because I would have put money down on it, because it felt good. It felt good to predict it and then have it happen, which is not a surprise.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the time suck in the beginning of the movie, where Kelsey Grammer and fucking Stallone are just trouncing about the country, checking out new people?
I love, like, this movie jumps right into an action sequence. And that, like, and that's what 2 does well right out the gate, too, is it opens... They all open with rescue/extraction missions.
And I like that.
Which is good, but at the same time, I also was like, what are these going to open with you just going in and killing people? You are mercenaries. You can change it up a little bit. It opened on action, which was great. But then we're treated to that boring fucking recruiting the new blood.
The diatribe.
And I, like, it's one thing to do that in the first installment of a movie by what is, right now, is supposed to be the conclusion of the franchise. Like,
it's not. It's not, Dustin. It's gonna...
I can't possibly imagine that they're gonna... Because if what they're setting up is true... They're setting up, like, a younger version of the Expendables for a franchise, which I really don't think is the case, because none of those people are bankable enough to bankroll a movie behind.
I know, but, I mean, why else set it up like that?
Oh, plenty of movies have done that, though.
Oh,
like,
painful.
But, yeah, like, why waste all that time recruiting? Like, the only character you really get any insight into, even remotely, is Kellan Lutz's character. And even his, like, it isn't a lot. Like, you just find out, this is essentially the one that Stallone is going to be kind of paternal to.
But here's the problem, is they talked about him being, like, some loose cannon type.
And he's not.
No, nothing was presented that made him seem that way. He just asked questions.
Yeah.
That were reasonable.
He rode a motorcycle, like, real hard.
But he wore a fucking helmet.
Yeah,
like
he
a
did.
Pussy.
And
that's the problem. I just found, of the new blood... None of them are as characters were that appealing.
No, absolutely
to begin
not.
With. I mean, I like that they have a tech-savvy guy who's also...
Yeah, it was a nice change of pace.
Right. And then I just like Ronda Rousey in general.
Yeah.
So, like, it's
she
not
did
a bad
have some really good fight scenes.
Character.
Like, her just doing armbar takedowns on dudes was fucking awesome.
I've seen that for like 10 minutes. Just
yeah.
Straight. And I'm
yeah.
like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And that's... So that's a nice, again, wrinkle to add. But, I mean... I already don't like Victor Ortiz in general as a boxer, and even just, I think he's trying to get an acting career going now, and I just don't think he has an appealing personality at all.
No.
Let alone,
he has
like,
no
they
stage
brought,
presence.
Yeah, and they brought nothing to that character, either, to give him. So it was, I just found him useless.
Well, Kellen Lutz and Rousey are like the only two of the new ones that seem to have like a personality set to them at
right.
all.
Right, yeah.
Like, the other ones are very vanilla. Like, Ortiz
could have
fucking...
I actually confused the two of them for a while. I didn't know which one was the tech guy and which one was the boxer. Like,
yeah.
I don't even, it didn't even really register.
Like, Ortiz could have beefed it and I would have been fine. The tech dude could have beefed it and I would have been fine. Kellen
Lutz...
He could
have, like, sacrificed himself with the timer for, like... the good of the team, and it would have been great. Like, tech guy gone. Great.
Yeah.
You know what I did like, though? I don't like a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
Because my Diet Coke is wearing off, is Antonio fucking Banderas. I fucking loved him.
Oh, Banderas was fucking amazing.
I loved his character.
He was
great.
Very good. And it's so different, like, because, like, Banderas is very charismatic, obviously, as an actor, but I've never seen him play a character that's that frenetic.
And just fucking annoying as hell.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's always very charming, very deliberate, very soft-spoken, very just
Zorro.
Alluring.
He's
Zorro. But in this one, like, he's constantly just, like, you almost want him to shut the fuck up. And you're like, no, I don't, because he's charming, kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, you would put up with it because he's really cute. Mm-hmm. Like, it's that kind of girl, like, that you would be like, ah, God, she's annoying, but, oh, she's real pretty, and she lets me kiss her, so.
Yeah.
I'm not going to respond to that particular metaphor.
Well,
I'll hit you later, but I...
Sorry, I was just going to say, okay, so they decide we're going to do this new group. But were you okay with the way that was presented? Because obviously it was way too long.
Yeah, it was
far
too long.
But I kind of like the Kelsey Grammer... character and that approach, I just wish it lasted like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I like the Kelsey Grammer character. I like him filling in like kind of a cue role, like as a dispatcher, like a quartermaster kind of role. And I think that's really good. And I think that's kind of what Tool, Mickey Rourke's character, was supposed to be in the first one. But then they just gave him terrible dialogue.
And fucking women. Yeah.
Whereas like Kelsey Grammer was good in this. And I never thought I would live to see Fraser Crane call a couple of MMA dudes a bunch of pussies.
Right.
That was a pretty great moment for me.
I loved the scene with them in the car. Like,
there was
some humanity there that I liked, but you didn't really get to see a lot.
Well, like,
and Stallone doesn't really... That's not Stallone's strong suit, but you know what I mean? That's not something he does
but
really
feel,
well, but...
But all their, exchanges feel natural.
Exactly.
And a lot of the exchanges, like those quiet human moments in these movies... Some of them feel really goddamn forced. Case in point, everything with Chuck Norris, dialogue-wise, in the last one.
I mean, I think the dialogue... I think this is the strongest script.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, I agree with that.
With Grammar, at least, like, if it was just 5 minutes, all they needed to do... Like, because they presented nothing... Like, they didn't have to tell us where they went.
No.
That was irrelevant.
No.
Like, we learned nothing about the fact that...
Arizona!
Fighting in Mexico.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, whatever. That was so... dumb. So it's just like, it could have been just very quick vignettes about like swishing really quickly to like, here's who I brought aboard.
Yeah.
Or they're all in
a
room and he just points and talks through
or,
what they've all done.
Yeah, like throws down dossiers on him, whatever.
Yeah. And
like, the only thing that I liked the Ronda Rousey introduction.
Yeah.
I liked that. That was about the only one of those that I really felt like.
Well, right, because you didn't know. Because
I totally knew.
And it didn't last long. Like, that's all
it
needed
that,
to be.
And that's,
like,
that's
each
the
one
quickest
of them
one
could
of
have been a minute.
Yeah. But then they spent, like, 5 minutes on Kellen Lutz's introduction. It's like, okay, he threw a fight. He's a bad boy because he threw a fight. It's like, no, that means he's just a shit.
Yeah.
Like, do you really want a guy like that on your team? Like, if his motivation is money and you're mercenaries, like, the key principle is money, so... Did you not learn the lesson from Dolph Lundgren in the first one when he rolled on you?
And even if they're trying to build something for a new movie, like, this is the problem, like, even if Callum Lutz isn't bankable, like, yeah. you've presented nothing in this character to make me want to go see
no, absolutely
a movie
not.
Centered around him or where he's...
I have no interest in seeing this, like, another Expendables movie without any of the core, like, original lineup involved.
Yeah, I didn't even like the device of using Stallone's weird protective father guilt for the original team and letting them
that,
go.
I hated that. That really pissed me off, because then you sideline the majority of the cast that people like me, who have been on board with the franchise from the start. Like, that's like taking one of the fucking Star Wars movies and saying, we're going to put Luke in here, but we're not going to have Leia or Chewbacca or Han Solo or Vader or
even
anyone
from,
else.
Like, a character arc, it didn't make any sense. He's been putting these guys at risk for whatever how many years, and like, now they're going after the one guy they all hate.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. Now I give a fuck about your lives.
I feel like literally every movie is Stallone saying, no, I can't let you go with me. And then saying, hey, dipshit, we're going to go with you.
But this is why it just was like fucking procrastinated. It was so long.
I fucking hate it because, like, Statham, out of all three of these movies, Statham and Jet Li have had the best, like, hand-to-hand fight scenes.
Yeah.
Like, consistently.
Did Jet Li have any... He had nothing. He was just
he didn't get one in this one, which really fucking bummed me out too. And I was angry that he didn't come in until almost the end of the movie again.
Yeah.
It's like, and then Wesley Snipes was used to so little effect too. Like, I thought Wesley Snipes was great, and I liked that character a lot. But like they rescue him in the beginning, and then at one point he's out of commission for a solid third of that final action sequence.
Well, I think that's kind of what Sumac was talking about earlier, which is there's too many fucking bodies.
Yeah.
There's too many people to focus on. And, like, when you have someone like Ortiz, like, cut fucking Ortiz. I want to see Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
If you have both of these people, one of them is expendable.
Hey-o!
I did it!
Brooke Curtis, ladies and gentlemen. We're on the radio with local... local funny lady, Brooke Curtis.
Streamers are falling from the ceiling.
Pez dispensers are falling from the ceiling. What did you guys
do? It's so weird, but that's the thing. Like, you just introduced Snipes to us.
Made us invested.
Right.
Yeah, and then half an hour, they're like, no, you can't come. Fuck you.
Because
Snipes even says, what, you busted me and then you're just going to cut me loose?
Yeah.
And I was like,
yes.
No, you asshole. Wesley Snipes is so good. It's been years since we've had, like, a solid, like, Snipes role in anything. Like, the last thing was really the last Blade movie, which is a dog shit movie, but his action sequences are fucking solid, because Wesley Snipes is another one of these guys who legitimately is proficient, like, in fucking martial arts. Like, he was, like, back in his Passenger 57 days, when he first was really becoming, like, a bankable action star, and then we get so little of that, and I was so fucking bummed about that, because I love Wesley Snipes.
Did we get any of those weird callback exchanges that I missed because I'm not into action movies?
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, we had a couple.
Damn it,
There was Get to the Chopper.
Get to the Chopper.
Which was one of Schwarzenegger's most iconic lines from the first Predator film.
Can I say one thing about that?
Yes, please.
I think it's very funny being a stand-up comedian because there are a ton of people who do Schwarzenegger impressions.
Yeah.
And I almost felt like he was doing an impression of himself
yes.
doing Get to the Chopper.
He was.
Yeah.
He, like, really gave, like, 50% to it.
Yeah.
Like, him doing what everyone else does.
But I think it was only that line, though. I think he commits it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Him calling Stallone an idiot is fucking cool.
That was
one of my favorite moments.
I was really disappointed that Harrison Ford didn't say, like, get off my plane. Like, I was
really
hoping. He was on an aircraft.
Although,
like,
I will
make
say,
it work.
Stallone in, like, Ford... in his maybe 10 minutes of screen time in this, is more compelling than he was in the last Indiana Jones movie. Like, Ford,
he was very compelling.
Ford is very on board with this role, and I fucking love it. And, like, and I think there were even more, like, a couple of, like, digs at kind of, like, his career and some stuff in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the end, like, Sloan says something about, like, having fun and all that. Because it's very well known that Harrison Ford fucking hates Star Wars at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But he has signed on for the new one anyway.
He broke his leg, right, during filming, didn't he?
That was a rumor. No, that was yeah. That was.
I thought it happened.
No, it was an unconfirmed. It was one of those things like the Daily Mail or some other dog shit rag didn't fucking source and it got spread like wildfire. Of course,
I thought it happened.
No,
I was like, how did he do the filming?
Then you missed out on I Am the Hague.
Oh, yes. The Judge Dredd callback.
Good. That was good.
I would have been okay with him saying, "I am the law."
Yeah.
But
there was one other one, too. It was, like, maybe, like, 10 minutes before I am the Hig. I can't remember now.
Oh, well.
We gotta go see it again. We'll be back, listeners.
JK. And then there's some, like, Wesley Snipes, like, just when they ask him what he's in for, and he says tax evasion.
That was great. So that was, like, probably the biggest laugh besides the
I love that Wesley Snipes has enough of a sense of humor about it at this point.
I bet it wasn't tax evasion in the script. I guarantee this.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, that's awesome.
I know this was weird and totally unrelated in a way, but there were moments that Wesley Snipes could have passed for Willie Mays Hayes from Major League.
Yes!
Because there's a part with where he crosses his
chest,
which, like, in Major League he does with the snake that Pedro Serrano gives him. And I thought about that. And then even the end scene where he throws the knife and it, like, falls, I was like, he should drop and do 10 push-ups.
Yeah, he's like best 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Well, even, like, his street clothes, like, he dresses like Willie Mays Hayes, too.
He kind of, like, had a walk to him.
Dapper gentleman in that ragtag group of jean jackets.
Yeah.
Like, where did he get all his money, his disposable income?
Tax evasion.
Tax evasion.
Well, then Terry Crews apparently loves fedoras after he gets out of the hospital.
No, like something happened in his brain, and now he's just like,
I was like, totally I love this character, but oh god, does he not have a mirror? Did his eyesight go? Does he know what he's wearing right now?
Karaoke at the end. Jesus.
What
Christ.
Song is that? I know that song, but I can't think. Old man, take a look at my life, or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I was like, I can't. That's too much. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You're not at fucking Applebee's. What kind of bar are you hanging out with?
To be fair, that bar looks like an Applebee's would be if it just didn't serve food.
I felt like you had to have been becoming irate when Ronda Rousey, like, they just toss in at the end this slightly sexual
thing. Oh my god! Yes!
That you were 30 years younger. That they
Wait. Also, Antonio Banderas sits on her and is, like, super creepy.
Yeah!
And then this is the best line. She's like, if you were 30 years younger. And he said, I'd be scared of you. Right?
Yeah.
Like, now he's now he can, like, handle her, but he couldn't then, and it's this whole weird daddy issue. Fucking awful.
Yeah.
It's awful, but I understand it had to happen. I understand, like, Stallone had no love interests, and he always does.
He didn't need to have
her. It didn't have
Nobody
to
goes
that's
to an action movie because we want a love story.
Yeah, or you just handed it to us 2 minutes before the end of the movie.
Oh,
for
it was
no
awful.
Reason.
And it was, like, creepy, and, like, they looked at each other weird, and then, like, she called Kellan Lutz up to the stage and was like, come on, smiles. And I was like, you can't fuck your teammates.
No, you can't.
You
shouldn't,
no,
but you
can't.
You shouldn't.
But you can. You shouldn't.
All right, can I get on to what I think is what I enjoyed the most?
Yes, please.
Okay, you can disagree with me, but I thought Mel Gibson was really good.
Gibson was fucking amazing.
He was so good. I can't think of a movie where he's ever been a villain. And that's why
Machete Kills he is.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
It's not very good. Although he's very good in that too. He's easily
he's
the best part
villain.
Of the movie.
He was really good.
Yeah,
I was impressed.
That scene in the truck.
He's fucking
amazing.
That scene in the truck was like sociopathic.
I know. For what The Expendables is, it really was good, and it reminded me of the Dark Knight Joker Batman sequence.
Yeah.
With the table too, because it's like this thing where it's like, we're both the same person,
exactly,
but we took different paths.
Yeah.
But you want to be on this moral high, but look at what you're doing. It's no different than what I do. I'm
precisely
just doing a more profitable and seen as more evil approach to it.
Oh, man, Gibson. Fucking chills from Gibson. He's so goddamn good in this movie.
Yeah. And even just the part where he's like, I have feelings, whatever. Like, he just
delivers
lines really well.
Yeah. Like, seeing Eric Roberts do those lines could have been laughable. And I don't think Eric Roberts is a bad actor.
Right.
But
is that the villain from the first one?
Yes.
From the very first one. Yeah. What up, action? That's a little into it. Okay.
but like, Mel Gibson is obviously a much more charismatic actor. Mm-hmm. And he's able to do that and make it seem a lot more natural. It's like, oh, this is a bad guy, but he's
He's saying these weird, regular things, but I believe it.
Well, I think also, I mean, someone like Mel Gibson doesn't get a chance to play a role like this a lot because of his, like, image and
anti-Semitism.
What he normally chooses. Well, yeah, there's that, too.
Could he have said something anti-Semitic and you would have been like...
I was half expecting it. The very first scene when he goes to the museum and buys that art, I was like, oh man, is he gonna call this guy a Jew? Like a dirty Jew or something? Is he gonna say something terrible?
Right.
No, he just makes fun of artists, which I'm also kind of okay with.
I really liked when anybody ever looked at Mel Gibson's dossier. So Stallone looked at it and Lutz looked at it.
Yeah.
And they both did this thing where they were like, I can't believe it. And they did this, like, weird blink eye thing.
Yeah.
They just, they couldn't believe, like, all of the awful things he had done. And I know we didn't really get to see it, but it was one of my favorite acting moments for both of these artists. Because they were just like, if I blink a lot, everyone will know I'm super shocked by all these awful things.
Yeah, all this death.
It was like a mini seizure every time they looked at the dossier.
There was a couple other digs. Jet Li's comment about thinking the church was an asshole, which I feel like was a last minute addition because Bruce Willis dropped out of this movie because they wouldn't fucking pay him more. And apparently, according to like all the reports, was just real shitty about everything.
Why would you want to do a movie like this as one of these guys? Like, this was so fun.
Because Bruce Willis has gotten to the point where, as a person, he's just not a good person anymore. Like the last 10 years of his career, like, almost everyone who's worked with him he's been difficult, like, he's just...
Yeah.
And it sucks, too. Like, and
this is the kind of movie you do to have fun with your friends, or at least, you know...
Bruce Willis doesn't have fun anymore.
Like, Harrison Ford.
Like, I was reading, like, some of the stuff with Kevin Smith after he did Cop Out with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan, and of course Kevin Smith, like, is a guy, like, a little bit older than me, but, like, he grew up, like, with, like, Die Hard and stuff, like, Bruce Willis was a hero of his, and then it was so fucking disappointed working with him, because it was just so not fun and completely destroyed his image of, like, who Bruce Willis was.
Right.
Whereas, the rest of these guys, like we said in the last episode, like, Stallone clearly still has a love for doing this. That's why he writes these movies where, like, yeah, making a movie is fucking work, but he gets to work with, like, a lot of people that are clearly close to him, that, like, are friends at this point. Like, I feel like him and Statham probably actually hang out in real life from time to time. I hope they do. Statham just lays on his chest, and it's just like, tell me about that other movie you did with Antonio Banderas that nobody saw. Tell me about it, Sylvester.
My favorite part was the Schwarzenegger Jet Li hug.
That was my favorite part
when he was like, you're just jealous. I was like, yes! Because there was that
homoerotic undertones?
Well, there was this homophobic moment, which happens in all movies. Like, there's always... That's an easy jab. Like, to know to be like, oh, you guys get a room, right? Like, that's a thing that happens in, like, all masculine tropes.
Yeah.
But then when Schwarzenegger, like, pulls him in for a hug, he's like...
Yeah.
Jealous. I was like, yes! Like,
that was so good.
Like, stick the homophobic trope on its head. And I like that because I think in action movies and, like, all, you know, that whenever guys get close, there's always that joke. Like, in any action movie, like, any movie with, like, prison, there's always this, like, don't hug a dude, it means you're a fag, like, thing that happens.
I love that you bring that up because here's the weird thing. We just did Lethal Weapon with Tyler Sonnenson a little while ago. And there's a moment in Lethal Weapon where a house explodes and Mel Gibson and Danny Glover jump away from it. And, like, Danny Glover's trying to put Mel Gibson out because, like, a little bit of it, like, caught his shirt. And Mel Gibson, like, we had to rewind and double check. But Mel Gibson's character goes, get off me, what are you, a fag? And yells it very angrily. And I'm like, I don't remember this line from when I watched this in my youth. Like, I don't remember this.
No, they're everywhere. It's like, just because it's, I mean, you are close quarters. Like, Bad Boys, I remember watching Bad Boys and seeing it. Like, they're in all the action movies, and it makes sense, because you have to address it.
Yeah.
And make a joke about it to defuse the situation, and it's like one of those easy, it's an easy hack joke.
Yeah.
But that was my favorite part of it. So adorable.
When it made up for Antonio Banderas hugging Stallone, and then being like, oh, no hugs, no hugs. Although Stallone, I feel like it was less a homophobic thing and more of just a...
No, it's just a Stallone thing. That wasn't a homophobic thing.
Well, either that. Like, I feel like it was just like, we get it. You're happy to be here. Like, pump the brakes, please. We know.
This is like an emotional Spaniard.
Yeah. They're very fiery people.
I did like Banderas' backstory.
Yeah.
I liked that twist.
Yeah.
That I thought he got fired this whole time.
Yeah, it's like, no, he's just got Survivor's Guild or whatever.
There's nothing left. And
yeah.
I liked that, like, they had that creepy moment in the woods. But then I went to the bathroom, so I don't know if something else happened.
Not really. You didn't miss a whole lot.
Yeah, I think I missed something by going to the bathroom. But it seemed like Banderas was the right time to just go to the bathroom.
No, that, like, weird scene in the
talking woods.
If you're listeners, if you're going to go to the bathroom, go when they are walking in the woods.
Well, Sumac left right before they were getting the takeoff. So Sumac missed the team coming back right before they left the airport and saying, hey, you're not going on this mission alone, obviously.
You didn't.
But then missed, and I told her this, one of my favorite lines, because Stallone's like, all right, the team's coming back on. So he says to Banderas, you better get out of the co-pilot seat. Christmas is coming. Referring, of course, to Jason Statham's character, Lee Christmas. And Banderas goes, but it's June.
This is very good.
And then we got a knife and a Christmas joke. Wesley Snipes and Statham meet early on, and they're like, who's better with a knife? And he's like, Statham's like, oh, I'm the best blade man, whatever. And Wesley Snipes just goes, I'm the knife before Christmas.
Ah, so good. That's such a double pun. I love it. It's like Sex in the City level pun.
It's so dumb, but
I
love
it.
Wesley Snipes delivers it with such sincerity.
Wesley Snipes is like
that,
his little snippets of dialogue as he was slicing people up.
It's so
fantastic.
Nice to see him having fun. Like, I miss seeing Wesley Snipes having
a
good time
in
the movie.
You're like with a bucket of puppies. You're just like, look at all these puppies having fun.
I love Wesley Snipes. Watch Demolition Man and try not to be just absolutely delighted by everything he says and does. He's so good. Or Major League, for that matter.
I have so many movies to watch.
Oh, God. One of the other great bits that I loved was Harrison Ford just not understanding Jason Statham because he was British. Like, it just caused me, like, and being angry about it. Like, stop mumbling, kid!
I did like that. I liked Harrison Ford's character a lot.
Harrison Ford was really good in this.
I think, like Chuck Norris, it was a Deus Ex Machina in a way, like, because they obviously needed reinforcements. But it was different because there was a build-up, and you knew, like, it wasn't out of the blue.
Well, and
like
you also
Chuck
see
Norris.
Them go to the tarmac and say, all right, we're the evac team.
Right.
So it's not like it comes out of literally nowhere.
Exactly. There was a lot more, like, build-up to them.
Plus, Harrison Ford's, like, dialogue and exchanges with everyone else are way more natural.
Oh,
really? And they're not trying to shoehorn stupid fucking Chuck Norris jokes into it.
Any memes or anything. It was nice. I liked his character a lot.
So how do you rank them? We've watched the trilogy.
I like this last one a lot. And I honestly, like, there's just a couple, like, there being too many people. I want this one to be my favorite.
Right.
Like,
it just
I really
fell
do.
Short, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And by the end, I just wanted it to be over. It felt like it was dragging, unfortunately, because its setup just took way too long.
The sequence with Kelsey Grammer killed the momentum.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was great, but it's
well,
too long.
I hate when movies do this, because Pirates of the Caribbean does this, too, where it does, like, the thing where it's like, all right, here's the start of the movie. Here's the plot point. Here's what we're after. All right, we've achieved that. Now we're doubling back to wherever. Oh, no, this thing got away from us again. And we're like, it just goes back and forth way too much.
Yeah.
And Dark Knight does that in a sense, too, with the whole plot with, like, Joker getting captured and getting away. And I fucking hate that device. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate it so much, and I feel...
It's like, hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
Like
I feel like
yeah.
it really kills the momentum a lot of the times. So, like, we're, like, Expendables 2... No nonsense. Like, gets right into everything. There's no obnoxious, like, real subplots. Like, it doesn't devolve anywhere. Whereas this one, like, Stallone goes in with the new team, captures Mel Gibson, he escapes, takes the new team, he has to go back. And this is after we've already had to watch him recruit the new team, too.
Right.
So that's a solid, like, half hour of movie that just feels wasted and just pointless.
You know, there was a moment that I... For three, harken back to one for me.
Uh-huh.
The second one, Stallone and Statham were talking at the beginning of this, and they're like, well, I would do the same for you if you were captured.
Yeah.
And I was like, if fucking Stallone or Statham doesn't get captured in this movie, I'm going to be let down, because that would have been a great device.
Yeah.
And
like,
it would have been way more interesting. The stakes would have been higher, because I didn't care about those new people.
Yeah.
And just like the first one, when Statham says to Stallone, you'll understand when you fall in love. It was the same thing, and they could have used it. And it would have been great, and you could still do fight sequences with Statham, or still Statham, let's face it, in custody, trying to break out and fight the guards, do whatever, and it would have been a much more effective device, and the stakes would have been higher than they have ever been, because none of them have been captured yet. And I think if they do a fourth one, that has to be it, because they have nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Because that's what I care about. I don't care about the new people.
No, I think, I don't mind.
I was so mad they didn't do that.
Yeah. I don't mind the new people being there, but yeah, like Sumac said, there's way too fucking many. Like, you want, like, because Liam Hemsworth was a new addition in the second one. And even if that character hadn't been killed off, his character could have been through the whole movie, that would not have been too much.
Right.
To throw in, like, five new... Like, you've got all the new kids on top of throwing Snipes, Grammer, and Banderas, and Ford into the mix.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
No, they're just getting...
And, like,
bored.
even if
forget people are even in it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
There's not enough screen time.
Yeah.
It was an hour and 43 minutes, just like the last one. You can't really do...
God, was it only an hour and 43?
I think so, yeah.
It felt longer.
Like,
how would you rank
just...
it?
I think...
This was 126 minutes.
What?
This one clocked over 2 hours. And I thought it might have.
I mean, two is the best to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Just from an... You know, all you can look at is entertainment-wise, and I was most entertained by it.
And momentum.
I think one and three are kind of... tied for me. Like, the merits are... It's hard. What's bad about this movie is that it had the potential to be the best of the trilogy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it fucking should have.
Because of, like, the weaknesses of it, it just brought it down. Like I said, when I'm feeling like, guys, I just wish this movie was over with, that's a bad time. You know? I mean, seriously, because you're relying on just being a really entertaining movie, and like I said, if it trimmed itself to being an hour and 45 or something, it probably would have been that way. If it's just a tighter movie.
Yeah, I think that was... that sequence in the beginning was killing
I will say, I think this movie has the best final action sequence of all three of them. With, like, that entire fight, like, in a factory or whatever the fuck it was. And that's a long sequence. Like, that's,
a half-hour
action sequence. Which I love anytime a movie does one of those, because usually they're condensed to a much shorter burst of time, and especially because we had so many parts of the movie where there was no fucking action, and that should never happen in an Expendables movie. And one of the other things, examples I think of is Blade 2. There's an action sequence where they go into like a vampire nightclub, and from the second they go in to the second like the last person gets killed, it's a half hour, and it's paced very well, it's done very well, it's exciting to watch, and I think the final action sequence in this was done the same way.
I think I don't think it took Stallone long enough to kill Gibson.
Yeah,
like,
I felt like that fight was a bit rushed, which was a bummer.
And that's the thing, is again, there were so many people to be on screen, you run out of time. Like, you run out of time to show everything, and I really thought that was kind of a rushed. But again, like, I was also feeling a little bit like Sumac was, where I was like, alright, let's
like,
go.
Wrap it
so
up,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing. Again, it's just a matter of the timing of everything. It felt okay, because there had already been so much time taken up.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. I wish it was a long... I just wish that the fights were longer.
Yeah.
But because of all this build-up,
the extraneous bullshit in between.
Yeah.
Well, even, like, the fucking sequence where they capture Gibson, like, that's not even a particularly compelling sequence.
No.
Like, it's like, oh, we get it, like... And, like, Ronda Rousey even makes that comment, like, what, Going Guns Blazing? That would have worked in 1985. I was like, so, what, because you fucking crack a code? Like, that makes it... No, it's still dumb. Like, it's still... your end game is still the same.
Right.
And even then, like, it ends in a clusterfuck of a shootout. So, like, what does it matter, like, the art of, like, covert stealth? What the fuck does that make a difference if it's gonna end in, like, a shootout? And then you get Robert Davi in it, very briefly. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping his character would be in there more.
Yeah. I was actually surprised.
Because, like, I knew he was in this, but I expected his role to be bigger. And
so
then,
like, who cares about nuclear? Like, I get it. Like, we know Mel Gibson's a bad guy and he's going to sell a psychopath nuclear weapon. Like, we know he's selling weapons. Like, who cares?
But I was okay with that, at least for, like, this is the plot thing and whatever. Like,
yeah.
It didn't make it anything bigger than that.
No.
You know, and it's like,
It was just nice to see Robert Davi.
Yes.
Well, he's a good villain. Like, he, the Bond movie that he was in, he's really good. And I, as one of the Fratelli brothers in Goonies, like, and he's good in these kinds of roles, but he's in this movie for literally, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was a bummer.
So I still liked it, but I think I liked it a little bit more than one, just because the parts that I like about it, they don't overshadow what's wrong with it, mm-hmm. but I like them a lot.
Mm.
And like I said, Wesley Snipes being in this went a long way for me,
mm-hmm.
even
yeah.
if they didn't use him. I was really hoping that Wesley Snipes and Statham were going to do kind of like they did in the last Fast and Furious movie where Vin Diesel and The Rock do like a team up and fight like that giant dude. I was like, oh my god, are Snipes and Statham about to like tag team this fucking big dude? Because we get that with Statham and Jet Li in the first one. I was like, oh, that'd be perfect. Bring it back. And then, oh, no, I guess not. Jason Statham and Ronda Rousey are just going to... We're going to cut back and forth between them doing armbar takedowns on guys.
Right. I think I would probably rank, like, 2, 3 than 1.
Yeah.
Like 3 and 1 are so close. And the only reason 2 is so much higher for me is because I felt like Terry Crews made 2 for me.
Yeah. Well, on top of that, like, 2 is a tighter movie. It's a more effective movie. Like this, like we were saying, like the script in this is probably the best script that any three of them have had, but there's so much fucking extra unnecessary stuff that
yeah.
it just kills the energy of the movie. And,
right.
And then, like, we don't get it back until that final, like, half hour.
Yeah.
We really sold you on it, huh, listeners?
I mean, it's still... If people, like, I would say, if people like the franchise, go see it. Like, it's not terrible by any means. Like, it's not gonna... It's not Live Free or Die Hard. Like, it's definitely not... It's not bad. It's just long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, too, is, like, I know I've mentioned this about just a lot of movies in general, is now a lot of movies feel like they have to be, like, 2+ hours.
Right.
And, like, there's no fucking restraint. Like, we just watched Judge Dredd yesterday, which is a terrible movie. But it also is only 1.5 hours, and it has
right.
the good sense to be tight, like, and get through stuff a little bit quicker. So it just sucks when movies feel like they have to fill in this, like, just imaginary fucking time limit. And Judd Apatow movies have gotten really bad about doing that, too, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
So you guys think there's going to be a 4th? You want to put some bets in now?
I wouldn't think there's one, but I've got the Wikipedia
page.
Wait,
this is the first weekend it came out.
Yeah, it literally just opened.
Box office numbers.
Mm.
Those are huge. You know how Hollywood works. Cardis.
You know they call me. Brooke Hollywood Cardis.
Okay, according to Randy Couture and Pierce Brosnan, there is going to be a 4th one.
So Pierce Brosnan's going to be in it?
Yeah, and Hulk Hogan claimed on his Twitter account that he'll be in the 4th one.
Hulk Hogan's claims have always been...
What a fucking disaster.
You know, from sex tape.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get, like, Dog the Bounty Hunter or something. They're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
Hulk Hogan, the most recent thing I've seen Hulk Hogan do was open the last WrestleMania with The Rock and Stone Cold and then refer to the Superdome as the Silverdome on national television, only to be very curtly corrected by The Rock and Stone Cold, and it was great.
Yeah.
That is a fucking disaster. Well, I'll see you guys at Expendables 4 then.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we'll definitely... I'll still see it, and hopefully Stallone will look at this one and realize the missteps that are here and correct for the next time.
And you'll
time.
Get that tag team scene you always wanted.
Oh my god, I want that scene so fucking bad. I want Snipes... Just give Snipes and Cruz a fucking spinoff.
Oh, yes!
That
yes.
would be so good.
It would be great.
It would be so fucking good. Let's do our favorite moments to wrap it up then. We'll start with Sumac.
Well, I think, you know, the Schwarzenegger parts were always very funny.
Oh, yeah.
So, if there was a favorite moment, I just enjoyed that how his character came aboard, like, more so than in any of the previous
two. Yeah, absolutely.
And in just a way that he even, I think, approached it in a pretty entertaining way.
Yeah.
And so, any of his screen time was good. Always good to see Snipes. Again, like, this is the biggest problem with the movie, is, for me at least, it's hard to grab at what a favorite moment is, because you just kind of vomited so much stuff at me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
so many characters, and... It just became excess, unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely.
When I got bored, I just stared at Kellan Lutz, so...
No.
and that was fine for me. I think Harrison Ford was my favorite, like, part.
Harrison
I
Ford
mean,
was
for lack of
good.
A better term. I think he just brought a lot. his presence was really solid. It never wavered. And I liked that he was, like, totally committed. Well, now, Schwarzenegger was this film, too, more than obviously previously. So I think, like, I think Ford was still my favorite. My mom has loved him since I was little, so I've always watched all his movies.
You don't have to defend it to me.
She
owns
Six Days
and
Seven Nights. Current girlfriend and ex-girlfriend I've ever brought home. Like, she's like, let's have a movie night! And we watch 6 Days and Seven Nights. And she's like, that Anne Heche is just so beautiful! It's like, oh, calf. So it's just one of those things that, like, I love him so much that, like, when he's in something, I'm like, I just relax into it.
Yeah. I think for me, every exchange between Mel Gibson and Stallone was so fucking good. Like, from the scene in the van with them just talking to their fight, even though it was short, was a really fucking awesome sequence. And just that final action set piece, like, that was so fucking good. And I feel like almost everybody in that scene, like, they got their moments, even if I wish maybe Michael Ortiz or whatever the fuck... Is it Michael Ortiz?
Victor
Ortiz.
Who's the tech guy? I don't even know that guy's name.
Glenn Powell. Not somebody that I looked up.
if I'm gonna be honest with you.
I mean, he was a space filler. And I was like, hey, remember how you said that Dolph Lundgren was smart in the last one? If he's a chemical engineer, it might make sense that he knows some tech
stuff. He could figure
stuff.
Out computers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, way to make the guy who's a Fulbright scholar be like, what is it?
Yeah, man, yeah, they completely trashed everything. They're like, oh, that was just a big lumbering moron again.
Exactly. He was only a Fulbright for one
Yeah. But, yeah, I did. I fucking loved that final action sequence, and everybody was great. And they brought wrestling moves back into the hand-to-hand sequences, mm-hmm. which, I mean, and I think that helped. Like I said, like...
Yeah, that last sequence was just so amazing.
Yeah. So it definitely, it helped to make up for a lot of the film's shortfalls, which there were plenty. But, goddamn. What a ride, guys.
What a fucking ride.
I'm exhausted.
What a ride.
Let's do a fist bump. Let's just do a fist bump.
Thanks, yeah.
So weird.
You could, yeah, it's weird to do it with three people.
Yeah,
let's do it.
All the way around. Oh, I'll go left. Ooh,
and then
ambidextrous.
Oh,
bam, there we go.
That was good.
Guys, we all just fist bumped like Statham and Stallone. Yeah. We're expendables now.
We're expendables now. I already got the tattoo, so.
Oh, hell yeah.
Let's just fucking do this.
I just got 5 tattoos. Just all over.
Let's just all do it. I didn't even wrap them up or anything. They're all going to get infected.
Yep. Don't have any of that. No vitamin A and D lotion.
Yep, exactly. They're idiots. They don't care.
Oh, this has been a lot of fun. Expendables 4 comes out, we'll have to
get together and do it. Yeah, reprise.
Bring the group back.
So, hey guys, we're getting the band back together.
Yeah.
And this time Wesley Snipes is going to join us.
I'll bring the Diet Coke.
Thank you so much, Sumac and Brooke, for doing the series with me. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, certainly. It's a treat to have
and
you guys
Sumac,
on.
I guess.
Always.
I guess.
Hey, you're always a delight to have on
here.
thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.